This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Darius Thomas.
No one touch anything.
Brock Rahm.
This is an audio-only podcast.
And Karina Anglada.
We get competitive sometimes.
Some people master one craft, but today's guest, she masters them all. Between hosting, producing, writing, and editing for the Dallas Cowboys, Nicole Hutchinson balances and executes on all of it. Get ready for an inspiring conversation about owning your talent, growing where you are, and how to stay focused on your creative goals.
Everybody ready? 27? That's absolutely the worst one we've ever done.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller Effects, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
We are so excited to be here. We've got Nicole Hutchinson from the Dallas Cowboys, who is a team reporter, producer, and writer. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you on the pod.
Hey, I'm excited to join y'all. It's going to be fun. I've heard good things from Zenobia, so I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
So I'll try not to fan out as a Cowboys fan, the only one on the call. But we always like
to... How you feeling? How you holding up? You okay?
I'm depressed. I'll keep it there. But this isn't about the Cowboys today. This is about you as the talent for the team. Take us back to your journey to how you got to this point in your career today.
Yeah. So I graduated from Howard University, HU, you know, come on. And my first job out of college, I went to MLB Network to be a broadcast associate, just for the summer until I found like my first on-air position, because at that time, like, I mean, still now, like, it's very hard to get a on-air sports job specifically, because there's so many people that want those jobs. So I went there for the summer, and then I was applying, got my first job in Alexandria, Louisiana. What an amazing place, being sarcastic. And so, yeah, no, I spent about a year and a half there covering LSU when they won the national championship. That was so much fun. But our bread and butter was high school sports, so I got a lot of reps doing that. My next opportunity, I was like, all right, it's time for me to leave. It was a 2-year contract, but I left early because I was like, all right, let me just bet on myself. So I reached out to Tennis Channel because I played tennis in college, and that's like my dream job. Want to be a host on Tennis Channel. So I reached out to them, and I just said, hey, you know, would love to do some digital work with y'all. If y'all have any openings, would love that. They flew me out for a week to do some stuff. But my job at the time was like, hey, you got to choose them or us. And I'm like, I'm choosing them. Got to go. See y'all later. And then after that, I then landed in Lexington, Kentucky. Got to cover the Wildcats, football, basketball, Ryan Howard, who was the number one overall draft pick in the WNBA. So that was a lot of fun as well. And then my contract was now 3 months until it was going to be up. My friend Haley Sutton, who's now at CBS Sports in Miami, she had the job. And she was like, hey, girl, I'm leaving. Would you want to cover the Cowboys? And I was like, absolutely. And yeah, she put in a good word for me. And now I'm here. So yeah, that's my journey.
Awesome. So I actually have a surprise.
Oh, gosh. Hey, come on.
HU shout out for you. I knew that we were going to have you on. So at what age did you always know that you wanted to be on camera or Was there something else that, you know, you played tennis? Did you want to go pro in tennis, or did you always have a creative inkling to actually be on camera?
No. So I actually wanted to do Broadway. I was doing musical theater. Mm. Yeah, probably since I was like eight or nine. I was doing like, there's this place called the Ensemble where you do pretty much like performances and stuff like that. Theater Under the Stars, which is like theater school and stuff like that. So yeah, musical theater was always my thing. So I wanted to be on Broadway. And then, but I grew up playing sports. My dad played in the NFL. He played for the Bears. Shout out to that helmet in the background. and so, yeah, grew up playing tennis, soccer, ran track. And it wasn't until my freshman year. Well, before, obviously, I got accepted into Howard, my mom was like, hey, you should just try, like, sports reporting, majoring in communications. Like, you're good in front of people. Like, why not? You're good with talking. You know sports. I was like, all right. So my freshman year, first semester, she knew someone that was, at the time, they were called the Redskins, so Washington Commanders now. And so she had said, like, hey, my daughter's going to school. I just let her, you know, have some opportunities shadowing you or even like being like a game day person. So he let me every Sunday. I was going up there, getting to interview players, do post game stuff, like running stats and things like that. And I was like, I think I can actually do this. I think I can do this. So since then, I just stuck with it and just fell in love with it.
That's amazing.
Shout out to your mom. That resonated with me because I feel like my mom said something very similar, and she's the reason I switched from a psychology major to broadcast journalism. So shout out to all the moms. And by the way, for folks listening in, Darius earlier showed a Howard University mug. So I know you can't see where we're at.
So I was trying to say my microphone wasn't working, but I was trying to say, Darius, this is an audio only podcast. Absolutely. Be descriptive.
They'll break into the Riverside one day.
Crying. But no, shout out to the moms, though. Moms be knowing. So yeah, thank God my mom, you know, she knew me. So obviously, great decision for her and for me. And she's a Cowboys fan too, so makes it even better. Yeah, I know.
Even better. She was like, yeah, just come on home. Like, do that thing.
You know, why not? For the Cowboys. Just do it.
So being a former student athlete, obviously playing tennis, how much of that was preparing you for the career in broadcast? Do you take any of that with you? Or, I mean, obviously it's preparation as an athlete that you have to do. But what other things were preparing you to be a reporter?
You got to have tough skin. So like in tennis, it's an individual sport. Like you're out there by yourself. You got to be strong mentally. You hardly have, like in college tennis, you can have your coach you like every odd numbers when you switch sides, but it's not really, you still out there battling by yourself. And so I would say teaching myself to have tough skin because like, I mean, obviously as a Black woman in this industry, it is very hard, but just being a woman in general, having to constantly know your stuff more than anybody else. You got to do extra preparation because there's times where like, for example, you know, maybe if there's an interview, you know, someone will ask me, oh, like, you know, do you have your questions? Of course I have my questions. Like, this is my job. This is what I do. So like little things like that, you have to be able to handle, you know, and just kind of shrug it off. And I feel like that's something that I've really carried from, you know, being a college athlete into this industry for sure.
I want to talk a little bit about your role at the Cowboys. You kind of have three titles baked into one, right? Reporter, producer, writer. What's a typical, like, during the season, what's like a typical week for you? How much are you on camera versus producing, editing your own stuff / writing around that? How does that work for you?
Okay, so let me just run through the week real fast. So like Mondays, I'll have Monday mornings, I'll tape a Cowboys flashback show, which is basically like the post game of the post game show. I'll break down plays, things like that with former player George Teague. And that's a show that I produce. It's not really more so when you say produce, it's basically just letting the real producer know what elements I want in the show. So I'm not having to like actually manually go in there and produce the show. No, absolutely not. And then later that evening, I'll have to host a radio show with one of the former players and the play-by-play caller, Brad Sham. Tuesdays are kind of like a light day. Wednesdays and Thursdays, I have sit-down interviews with players. I'll have locker room stuff. Every day I do host a podcast, though, called Girls Talk, Boys Talk on DallasCowboys.com. So that's pretty fun as well. Fridays, I have Thursdays and Fridays, I do social media hits. So like social will come to me and say, hey, like we got to do an AT&T Media Center update or like 5 points, which is getting the fans and stuff ready for the game ahead. I'll edit a story for the pregame live show, whether it's an interview that I took from one of the things that I did earlier in the week or just an actual story from like maybe, you know, Brandon Aubrey setting the record in most field goals made, something like that. So, yeah. It's different every day just because you never know what's going to happen. But that's the typical like baseline of what I have to do. And then Sundays, of course, I'm on the pregame show and I'm on the postgame show, Final Word. So, yeah, it's a little bit of everything. As far as writing, that's more so of like writing like scripts and things like that if I need it. It's not more so of writing as in like our beat writers on the team. So, yeah.
So that's it's an actual full.
Yeah. That's
I think Brandon and I were thinking the same thing. Like that is, you know, a lot of time people may have the misconception that you just show up and just do the thing and then just go home. But there's actually more layers to it.
Yeah. Even like the editing too. I don't edit everything, but I do edit like my story for the pregame show or I'll edit like an interview. But it doesn't hurt me because I'm really fast at editing. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, people don't realize that it's not just out there. You go show up. I mean, if you're on ESPN, of course, but like everywhere else, you're doing everything yourself.
I feel like that's a lot of local news, too. How much did your time in local news kind of help prepare you for that to be able to say like, oh, yeah, I can edit that. I can do that. You know, you don't need to worry about that.
My like selling point to them just because granted, I don't have to shoot things and stuff anymore, but they were like, I was like, hey, I can edit a story. I was editing a story every day in local news. Like I was saying that I can shoot everything. I, you know, write my scripts. I produce my shows in local TV. So like that was something that they gravitated for. And they typically do look for women who have done that or men who have had experience in local TV just because it's not something that they have to teach you when you get to that point. So, yeah, it definitely helped me for sure.
What has been, of all of the things, what is your favorite part of the process? Is it the writing? Is it the, you know, being on camera? Is it seeing your work after and knowing, you know, it made it to the world in some capacity? What's your favorite part of the process?
I'm not going to lie. I think it's the interviews with the players and building the relationships with the players. Because, and I think that's something that I've been able to like pride myself on is just like being myself and letting them kind of like when I came in, for example, the first maybe like month and 2 months, I was just going up to players like, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, you know, digging up some information and asking them, like, oh, how's your family doing? You know, like I heard this and stuff like that, because like they don't always want to hear about like, oh, what happened last week with, you know, why you got torched by somebody, like stuff like that. So I feel like that's something that I really enjoy, and it's helped me as far as like building the trust and with them. I'm able to like find out information a little bit faster than some people may, and I can use it on the podcast, you know. Some things I have to be careful about, but just because I work for the team, but when I am able to like break some news and stuff like that, like those relationships come in handy. So I'd say like that's something that I really enjoy the most, is just getting to know these players and telling their stories on a daily basis, honestly.
It's funny because there's obviously a couple scenarios that happened this season that became, you know, massive media stories for one reason or another. But I guess it begs the question of, I feel like from my perspective that the Cowboys internal team has the most flexibility to be able to tell stories that other, maybe more national media can tell. and be a little bit more objective than some other teams are allowed to be. So how do you find that balance of you have those internal relationships and you want to maintain those and obviously continue to build them and while still, you know, holding on to the news and the information that you might have without, you know, while still kind of doing your job the best of your ability.
And that's the thing that I've had to adjust to is because there's a lot of like, for example, free agency. There's a lot of like legal things that like have to happen within the team and then the NFL to where we'll know first, but we can't say anything until it's legally done. You know, everything's done with the team and the NFL. So that's why like those Adam Schefters and, you know, all those guys can break stuff like that because they're not a part of the team. You know what I'm saying? So finding that balance is more so of like maybe on the podcast. I'm like, you know, I could possibly see, you know, D-Law maybe making a switch and taking a, you know, opportunity elsewhere if I already know that he's going to Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Like there's ways to work around it and word it to where like, oh, okay. The fans are like, oh, she may be onto something, but she's not saying everything because she can't say everything because legally it's not done yet. So yeah, like there's ways to work around it. And then like another example is like the whole Wanye, one of the greater special teams guys on the team and also a safety. And like I found out first that they're going to do a 1-year deal with him. And so I just kind of on the podcast, like, you know, I could see Wanye staying a little bit, maybe a year contract and then kind of, you know, color it around that. And then next thing you know, maybe a day later, I was able to break it. But there's ways to work around it. It just sucks that we do have to wait until like all the legal stuff is done. And then we can like kind of play off of that.
You know, we had Chris Haynes on a couple, obviously a different sport. And, yeah. You know, he talked about the difference from the other side of being like a NBA insider and having team reporters that are able to actually give a little bit more depth. So, like, is it kind of a balance of like, yes, you may have to wait a little longer, but you have more information than, you know, maybe a Adam Schefter or, you know, one of the NFL guys?
Yeah, there's certainly a balance. I mean, like I said before, you may know everything, but we just can't say it. And it's something that sucks for me because I've been so used to like in local TV, it's all fair game. I can tweet whatever the hell I want to tweet, you know, first, second, third, whatever. But now, like, even my boss has to remind me sometimes, like, hey, we can't tweet that right now. We got to wait a little bit just because it's just not finalized. So, it's certainly a balance having to maintain that, but you get used to it.
Looking back, you know, the journey from, you know, reporting in Alexandria to now being with the Cowboys, did you ever envision, like, did you have like a vision board or like a planner that said, oh, and in this amount of years, I want to be here? Or did you kind of like, hey, I'm just going to go step by step?
Yeah, I was just step by step. It was hard seeing like other women who I was friends with, which I was always supportive of them. But it's hard when, like, for example, you are starting off in a local market and they're kind of in that higher market than you. And then they get these team reporter roles so soon. And you're like, dang, like, when's my time coming? But, you know, I'm really big on faith, too. So I was like, let me just trust in God. He got me, period. So I was just like, you just got to take it step by step. It's going to come when you are ready for it to come. And so when I was in Alexandria, I wasn't ready. Like, I had to realize I needed more reps, way more reps. And so that's when I went to, obviously, like, Tennis Channel, then Lexington. And even in Lexington, I'm not going to lie, I didn't think I was ready for a team reporter role. But when Haley had reached out, she was like, you're ready. Like, you got this. You know, she also instilled that kind of positivity in me. And that's when I was like, all right, like, it's time to take that next step and level up. And so, yeah, I was always a step by step type of person, grind it out whenever your time comes. And then when that time does come, seize it. And now I feel like I've started to seize this opportunity and take advantage of it for sure.
I love that. And it's great that you mentioned Haley and others around you having the support of other women who, you know, may have gone a couple steps ahead, but kind of help prepare the path for you too. How important is it, especially in this industry where, you know, most of the on-air reporters are women, to have other women supporting you and like kind of not just pulling you along, but supporting you along the way, and to also give that back?
It's huge. Because honestly, when I was in college and trying to work my way through local TV, it was a lot of like the Steve Weiches, who Howard alum, Jay Harris, who actually I had reached out to Jay Harris just like praying I could shadow him one day. And he responded. I sent him my reel. I was like, listen, I'll pay for my flight. He was like, no, me and my wife will pay for your flight. Didn't know me from nowhere, like literally nowhere. I just DM'd him on Instagram. And so him and his wife, they bought me a flight, got me a hotel room. I got to shadow him and L Duncan for a day. This was my sophomore year in college.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so like there weren't many women who I'd reach out to and they'd have like a positive kind of, it wasn't a positive spirit for me. And so like surrounding myself with women who are now like successful, who are on the grind with me, that were also helping me stay like confident is really big for me. And giving that back too is big for me just because I didn't have that. And so it's really competitive too, which is why like, you know, older women in the industry, sometimes they see younger women who are trying to, you know, have dreams of being where they are. And I feel like some of them take that and are like, okay, I don't want to help her. You know what I'm saying? At least that's how it feels for me because I've experienced it. And so, yeah, it's big for me having like ladies like Haley, Laura Oakman, who has been so huge with her Galvanized program. There's a girl named Sierra Henry that I'm really good friends with as well. Autumn Johnson, who's big for the Big Ten, WNBA reporter, like all these girls, women. Yeah, it's like a sisterhood for sure.
And now that you are, you know, stepping into the stage where some of them were when you, you know, were looking back, how many young ladies or even young men are reaching out to you to try to get tips? Or like just talk to her?
A lot. I actually just had a call with a young girl from TSU yesterday for like an hour. And just, I don't care about how long it takes. However, whenever you want to reach out to me, like DMing me, some girls just give them my numbers like that I've obviously known. They'll say, hey, like I have someone that I want you to talk to. Like, are you down with them? Like, bet, sure. Just have her text me, have her call me. Like I said, because I've never had that before with women in this industry. And so, yeah, it's big to give back because, yeah, it's just good. It's good to give back for real. That's just what's in me for sure.
Have you found more people, like young people are reaching out specifically about on-air roles or trying to other avenues? Like, oh, I seen this job with the Cowboys and in a tangible, a different role, but sort of related? Or do you find like people are like seeing you and they're like, I want your job basically one day?
No. Yeah. I mean, like there's some people that like, there was a young girl who was like, hey, like, how did you get the team reporter job? Like, I want to be a team reporter. And I was like, girl, I got lucky. Not gonna lie to you. Had a friend who had the job. Like the team reporter jobs are so hard to come by because you just have to know someone within the organization. I've learned that either know someone in the organization or who's leaving and who had the job before, because they don't just post those online. So yeah, there are some times where there are women who reach out and they're like, hey, like, how'd you get the team reporter job? But then there's some, excuse me, that don't necessarily know what they want to do. Or there's some that, you know, possibly think about wanting to be on air and don't really know. And they're just kind of looking for feedback on like how to go about, you know, getting their reel started and things like that. So yeah, whatever advice, I mean, I feel like I can give, I try to give it. And I always have like an open line of communication with anybody who reaches out to me after that, you know, first phone call that we do have.
Yeah, I think it's so important, the candor that you just shared, like, especially with young people. What you said earlier about, like, there's a lot of factors that led you mm-hmm. to get to where you were, right? In one instance, you mentioned at one point you weren't ready for that position, but yeah. it's also the realities of like, what roles are actually open and when is that role open? And for you, you mentioned, you know, you had to break your contract and, you mm-hmm. know, make a decision. I'm curious about that. Like, how do you gauge, okay, I'm like locked into this 2-year contract, but this is my mm-hmm. deadline. How do you balance like those decisions for when you want to make a big pivot or make that next jump to that next, you know, ideal role?
Yeah, you just do it. Like like I said, 3 months. So it was July. My contract was up October. Maybe my math is not math. Like, whatever, we get the point. And so, yeah, July. And so I'm like, okay, looking for jobs. Nothing's getting back to me. Then I hear from like weather jobs and like news roles that are open and all this. And I'm like, hell no, I'm not doing no dang news, no dang weather. I'm not doing it. So I'm like, all right, it's giving. I'm finna go home and just figure it out. Like back to Houston, that's where I'm from. And so, again, like I said, Haley had just called me like out of the blue and was just like, hey, this role's open. And I'm like, okay. At that point, I didn't think I was ready because I hadn't necessarily covered an NFL team like that. Like, yeah, I've covered college football, but being on a stage like that, Dallas Cowboys, like, mm-hmm. most valuable franchise in the world, like, I've never been on that big of a stage before. So it was kind of like, I don't know if I'm ready. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you just got to just go take the risk. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes. Like my first, they just threw me in there. I didn't start till like the end of October. So it was like week 7, week 8, and just had to figure it out. And luckily, I had Haley to kind of call and, you know, lean back on to just say, hey, like, I don't know what I'm doing. How do you do this? How do you do that? And so like it wasn't perfect that first year, but I've gotten great feedback from like my bosses, all of production, in terms of like my first full season this past season. They're like, wow, like you took a huge leap in this year. Like my knowledge was there. Like my preparation was a lot better just because I knew a lot more on the team, you know? So yeah, you just got to do it and just say, screw it. Like YOLO.
That's a message for all of us. Don't think, just go. And then
just go.
Sometimes we need that. I think even as a creative myself, it's like, I'm like, oh man, I didn't prepare for this. I'm not ready. You just have to go. Like not yep. get in your head and just say, oh, put things out there. So I love that message. It resonates, I think, for me and so many people probably listening in.
Absolutely. So let's talk about Howard for a second. One of the most prestigious, okay. if not the most prestigious, HBCU in the land. lots of talent comes out of Howard University in D.C. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a multi-layered question. How did your experience at Howard prepare you for life? And like I said, there are a lot of people when we talk about the Felicia Rashads and the Chadwick Bosemans yeah. and the Nicole Hutchinsons that come out of Howard. Who did you kind of look up to or like know that it was possible because these people came out of Howard?
Well, I'm going to start with that question because you got like Taraji B. Henson that graduated from Howard University. Mm-hmm. Like you have so many celebrities that go on and just have so much success in any of their careers, whether it's entertainment, whether it's acting, whether it's singing, whether it's freaking sports reporting, like everything, business owners. And I didn't really have someone that I just looked at. I just knew. And granted, I didn't know that I wanted to go to Howard until they came and said, hey, we got a full ride for tennis for you. What's up? I'm there. Count me in. So yeah, my mom, and plus growing up in Jack and Jill, the organization, I had already knew that everyone would typically go to HBCU. So I was like, all right, let's try it. And it was a culture shock for me at one point, like when I first got there, because one, I'd never been around all these amazing Black folks, okay, that are doing stuff. And so just seeing students, freshmen, sophomore, junior, they're all all beautiful. And they're like starting their own businesses, whether it's shoemaking or like, I don't know, watchmaking or just stuff like that, like lashes and all that, you know, lawyers. You're seeing just so many stuff that are so many people that are moving and shaking. It makes you like, okay, freshman year, that's why I went out and had to get an internship, do something, because I felt like what I was doing, just going to classes and just playing tennis, was not enough. And, you know, that's something that kind of it taught me how to grind and constantly be okay with like the grind, because you're like a small fish in a big pond. Is that what it? Yeah, like a small fish in a big pond. There you go. Because everybody, I mean, y'all look alike, y'all talk alike, like, but you have so many people from different places that are just constantly moving and shaking. And that's something that really taught me to like, all right, no excuses. Like, you got to get to whatever you got to get to, no matter what. So that's something that really helped me for sure graduating from Howard.
Yeah. And not only Howard, but then also joining, you know, one of the sororities there, that, you know, small sorority, you know, small? That was started there.
Absolutely not.
You know, like Howard just really, I mean, everything about it is excellent. Mm-hmm. And so to your point about, you know, small fish in a big pond, but it's also iron sharpens iron. And, yeah, you know, it just makes you want to be excellent no matter what part of it is. So how much do you get a chance to kind of go back and kind of give back to students there that may be, you know, aiming? I mean, they have so many people that could come back, right? But
oh, yeah. Well, I don't get to go back often. I've been back twice to cover them for men's basketball and then for football. But I'll do like Zoom calls and things like that. Or like teachers will still reach out to me and like have me reach out to students and say, hey, like, can you just talk to them, give them some advice, things like that. But I don't get to go back often because like typically homecoming is always during football season, and local TV, I was constantly working. So I never really had an off season. Now, like, I feel like I'll probably try to go back a little bit more because like I said, last year, they just kind of threw me in the fire. I was just kind of learning my way. So I didn't want to risk, you know, just saying, all right, let me just go to Howard and see everybody. No. So this year I can probably do a little bit more and say, okay, like, let me go take a trip up to Howard. I still communicate with all my professors that I actually had there. So that was also something that was key. It's like a little small family. But yeah, no, I don't get to go back often, but I do get to talk to students whenever I get the chance.
And one more thing on the HBCU front, you also do some, when you get a chance, some HBCU coverage. Kind of talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I sideline and also host their halftime show and pregame college football kickoff show during football season. It's called HBCU Go, which is pretty much the number one HBCU source for all HBCU content, whether it's football or basketball. They also do baseball and softball. I stay away from those two sports, but yeah, they cover pretty much everything. So yeah, I do that in my free time when I can. I was able to do a couple of pregame shows during football season because it was on Saturdays. And obviously NFL's on Sundays. And then I do stuff with them. Like I went to Mississippi Valley State to cover them against Jackson State last weekend. So it's a lot of fun. Like their coverage is amazing. Their broadcast team is amazing. Like they bring in people from NBC Sports, like MLB Network, ESPN, former, you know, producers from there. So yeah, it's pretty fun, and it keeps my skills sharp a little bit because I do want to sideline as well a little bit more. So, and I don't get to do too much of that in Cowboys.
You have so many vast experiences, and I'm curious, is there any particular moment throughout your career that you're like, oh my gosh, this has been like an amazing interview or amazing opportunity or an amazing story that you helped get to craft? Is there anything top of mind that stands out, or maybe not top, but top three, if you can't choose one?
I would say I have two. Well, I'll say it's like, as far as story that I put together, there was one that I actually did in Lexington where I shot it, edited it, interviewed, did all that. And there was a kid, high school kid, who he was from the Congo. So he came from the Congo because his family like couldn't afford, they had too many kids, they couldn't afford to keep him. So they basically just shipped him to the U.S. and said, figure it out. And so he got to the U.S. He got into a foster home. They didn't necessarily treat him right. Then he probably went to like three different foster homes until he was just like, screw it, like I'm over foster homes. Like I'll just figure it out myself. He got into a high school and the third foster home got him into. And so he had met a girl who was just like a really nice friend, like, you know, student there as well. And apparently they had been previously like just taking in, you know, kids from different countries whenever they didn't have necessarily homes to stay in. And they just like, I guess the guy that was staying there had just graduated. So they had like an empty home, empty room. And so they just took him in. They took him in and said, hey, like you can stay with us. Like, and that's basically like his family. So I'd say that was probably like the best story I put together and took the time out to like kind of cultivate. As far as like experience, definitely gonna go with that LeBron interview. It was like a media scrum my junior year of college. And I was actually at home. What is this? It was one holiday. I don't remember. And I was at home and my internship had called me and said, hey, like the Wizards are playing, the Lakers, you got to come up here, da, 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 figure it out. I'm like, noted, I'm there. So my mom and dad paid for my flight to go back up there. And yeah, like they had like a media scrum and typically like media scrums, I mean, y'all know what that is. Hard to ask questions in when you're, you know, basically a nobody and you're a little, you know, 5'4" student. He probably looking at you crazy, like, why is she here? So literally like the PR person goes like last question and I just, you know, figured it out, found some courage, asked him the last question and he answered it. And then at the end of it, like when everyone was walking off, he goes, shout out to you for figuring that out. And I was like, that was a cool moment. Top five moment. No, nope, number one moment for sure. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Amazing. And the visual of you being like tiny person hits different for me because I'm the same where it's like in those scrums, like people are towering over me, but I would always shoot with a monopod and put it up real high so people like, because scrums are ridiculous. Like you're like, feel like you're like, that's a sporting event in itself, right?
It really is
trying to get your spot, trying to get your shot, all those things. So that's
then you got people trying to like squeeze in front of you and you're like, dude, why you got to do all that? You saw me in the front, like what are we doing?
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I hate scrums, but you know, got to do it in sports.
So in your job today, what would you say is the best thing about it? And what would you say is the most challenging thing about it?
Best thing, I think I said this earlier, but making the relationships with the players. But if I had to say like work wise, I would say, interviews, being on camera, because I get to show my personality. I feel like that's what makes me unique, is that I'm just myself. Like I'm the same person on camera that I am off camera. So I definitely say like being on camera and getting to talk football, it's definitely something that I love to do. Most challenging is always like staying up to date with what's happening, because it's just, it gets overwhelming sometimes, because you're constantly have to scroll on Twitter, constantly having to watch sports, constantly have to do like, you know, your research, and there's no like hardly any mental breaks. So I would definitely say that, but it, I mean, that's what I signed up for. So I got to suck it up and just keep doing it.
Do you ever find yourself, when I worked in the NFL, I at times would have low moments where I'd be like, man, I have to cover the same 52 guys all year and you run out of stories. Do you ever hit that wall? And if so, how do you push
through? Hell yeah. I mean, I just got to do it. I think that I have to remind myself of like this constantly, like, okay, you signed up for it. figure out how to tell it in a different way. So yeah, I say like, so I have had those moments, but you just have to like tell yourself, all right, like, this is what you love to do. This is what comes with it. Figure it out and keep it pushing. But like, if there's those same stories keep happening, I mean, you just have to find different ways to tell it. Honestly, it's hard, but like, and it takes more time. You just got to find different ways.
So on this show, we like to give back to the next generation of up and comers. What advice can you, I mean, there's a ton of you, right? So I tell this story sometimes about how when I worked at the universities that I worked at, specifically Georgia, which is where, you know, Maria Taylor came from. And I actually intern had Olivia Harlan, who's now Olivia Decker. And there was always conversation about, you know, this is how you do this, and this is how you, you know, should prepare yourself.
Yeah.
There are a lot of young ladies and young men who want to be on camera. What advice would you give them? Would you give to them to prepare them for what this gauntlet of a career is?
I don't think there's much that can prepare you for the gauntlet, but I would say your path is your path. And stick with your path. Don't try to be following, you know, so-and-so who then made it to ESPN at age 25, like, you know, or so-and-so who's at CBS Sports at 27. Like, that's just, it's not realistic for everyone, because some people need more fine-tuning, like myself, than others. And so, and maybe that person just knew the right person at the right time. So, like, you can't really, you can't follow everyone's path or who you think is, you know, already at the top. So I would definitely just say stick with your path, because that's what's meant for you.
And as someone who's had to do like a one person, you know, we used to say one man band, but obviously that's, you know, not politically correct. As someone who's been solo, had to be the camera person, had to be the talent, had to be the lighting assistant. How much did the, you know, having to set up all of that and edit your own content prepare you to be the reporter that you are today?
So like sometimes there's a, for example, like when we have, cause I have people that shoot my stuff for me, but I know like I need, if I'm doing a certain story, I know what shots I need. I know what like angles I want to use. I know what sound I want to say, like sound I want to use. So I'm already mentally knowing what questions I want to go in there for. As far as lighting, I know how I look in lighting. So like, or, you know, because I've had to set up the camera and everything, so I can tell, which, I mean, they're pretty good about doing that. So I don't really have to say it much, but like sometimes I'll have to be like, hey, like, can you turn that up just a little bit? It's not, it's still dark, or it's not showing the right side, you know? So I feel like it's helped me in terms of that, because I'm able to notice the little things a little bit more, rather than some people who are, have just been on camera. They just kind of depend on what the shooter is doing, and rely on that. Whereas I'm like, okay, nah, something ain't right. I need, or if they're having trouble with, you know, setting up the camera, I can go ahead and set it up, you know, just to make time efficient. So I'd say it helps. It helps a lot, just because you pay attention to the little things more.
That's awesome.
And the little things make the biggest of difference, right? At the end of the day. And I think being able to like craft a vision in your head, like you said, you have in some instances your shot selection ready. You know the story you want to tell. Like, you know that better than anybody else. And so I love that you have that expertise and that background. And I think that's something that I hope anybody listening on, you know, doesn't necessarily pigeonhole themselves into one particular role, because it sounds like from your career, you've been able to take so many different experiences and they prepared you for where you are today.
Yep.
So I love that.
Oh, for sure. Thank you. Thank you.
What's it like having your dad be in the NFL and having a, you know, you playing sports and getting feedback and advice from him, and did any of that translate into what you do today?
Yeah, my dad was always my, like, he was a harsh critic. I used to hate him in my tennis matches, just like, because, you know, he'd already been to the highest level of all sports. So like, he's, and I think he wanted a boy too, I'm not gonna lie. I think that's why he was a little harsh, but it's fine. We're gonna let that go. So he was always like, at tennis matches, if I'm like losing, if I'm like, I don't know, down in a set or something like that, he's like, "Are you ready to go home?" In front of everybody. Ready, like, it's crazy. Yes. Soccer matches, same thing. Like, we can go home, we can pack your bags if you're not ready. Crazy. But it's fine because it mentally prepared me for all the critiques. Like, he'd always stay on me, give me critiques whenever I didn't want to hear it. But it helped me learn how to take criticism from other people. That's why I love feedback. I don't get upset about it. I just use it and I translate that over into my work. Yeah. And I think that's also something that I pride myself on, because like, I've had a father who was constantly criticizing me, and it wasn't like, you know, bad criticism. It was just tough love. Like, hey, ain't nobody going to just give you stuff. You gotta, you know, be perfection, you know, try to be perfect. And so, yeah, having that has really helped too.
Do you think that in sports, especially youth sports, that we've kind of lost some of that?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Everybody's like, soft.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
You sound like you use that to like spark a fire, but some people use that to kind of like, as like water to put the fire out. Just kind of talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, because I don't want anyone to ever say about me like, man, I tried to help her and give her this advice and she was just nasty, didn't want to take my criticism. Like, I don't want anybody to ever say that I didn't want to get better, because I always want to get better. Even now, like, I've grown, but I'm nowhere near where I feel like I can be. And so that's why I'm so open to like asking, like, I send my reels or whatever clips I have to all my mentors, probably at least twice a month, just because I want to know, like, how can I get better at this? Like, how can I do this better? How can I, like, what's this about? Cause I'm granted, like, football is, yes, it's a sport that I know, but I'm not a former player. Like, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can always get better in my football knowledge. I'm nowhere near perfect. And so, like, that's, yeah, like, I feel like I always have to be open to criticism, just because you never want to have anyone saying that, like, she don't want to get better for real, you know? So, yeah.
Is there anyone, you know, been around an organization like that and having your dad have played in the NFL, like, do you ever get starstruck? And if you have, who's the one person that kind of knocked you off your square a little bit?
I'm not gonna lie to you. I've never been, I don't get starstruck. And I only say that because growing up, like, my dad's always put me in positions where I'm like surrounded by celebrities, athletes. I had Travis Scott perform at my graduation party. I interviewed DeAndre Hopkins on stage at my graduation party and PJ Tucker. Like, it was something that, like, I've always been around. My uncle also played for the Oilers as well, Lamar Lathan. So it's just like, I don't get starstruck. I just kind of, which helps me, I think. I think it helps me just because, like, I just go up to players, coaches, and like, hey, what's up? Like, how you doing? And I'm just myself. And it makes it a little bit easier because you have some people that are like, oh my God, that's Brian Schottenheimer, like, our head coach. Like, they get, you know, a little happy. And you can't be like that in a position like this. So, yeah, I think it's honestly kind of helped me.
Shout out to Shotty. We worked together for a year at Georgia.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Smooth.
Likeable coach.
Yeah.
Dope.
Absolutely. Krenny, you got a little game for us?
I do. We like to play a little game. It's all fun and games. No pressure. Minus
pressure.
The fact that you have to listen. Yeah, exactly. All pressure. You have to list.
There are winners and losers, though.
Correct. This is a sports podcast, right? We get competitive sometimes. No,
it's all about the W's over here.
So one of the things we like to do with our guests is give them 30 seconds to list off all of the items or things or tools or, you know, anything that helps you in your day-to-day work. Or it can be things that you like, these are your bread and butter, like you rely on them all the time. You've got 30 seconds to list off as many as possible in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, right now. Okay. Phone, Twitter, Instagram, computer, desktop, that counts, Adobe Premiere, editing, graphics person, Zenobia, photographer, team photographer, Kalina Williams, our production people, which is Rox, Jazz, I guess you can say that, our production people, the studio, podcast studio, production studio, my mind mentally got to be ready.
And time.
Communication. And communication.
That was 12. Okay, we got 12 and 30. That's pretty impressive. So
yeah, if you got less than 10, we do end the podcast and we delete it. So it's good you got 12. So.
That's sick.
That is awesome. So you mentioned some names there that have been previous guests. Kalina, who's one of the best photographers. I'm not just saying that because I consider
her friend. No, she is.
Zenobia is one of the best graphic designers. Cowboys do a pretty good job of you know, giving women chances in the sports field. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the, you know, that camaraderie that you all have at that organization as women and how you're, you know, like we say, iron sharpening iron in the day-to-day at that facility.
We stick together. And anything that, like, anyone needs, we go straight to each other first before we go to anybody else, just because we know that we'll get it done for each other a lot faster than, you know, most people. But the organization does a really good job of hiring women. I'm not going to lie to you. I think way more women work there, as like on staff, and like our employees, than men are. I'm not gonna lie to you. And I think that's something that is credit to Charlotte Jones. She's really big on women empowerment, which is what I love about that organization so much. And not gonna lie, they are big on diversity, which is why, like, in positions like team reporter or team photographer or team graphics designer, they have Black women in those positions because they want it to be known that, like, hey, we give, you know, Black women chances here. I think that's what makes me love working for that organization so much, for sure.
You spoke a lot about women empowerment. It is Women's History Month. And that's one of the things that we like to do on the podcast during March, is to celebrate and uplift and spotlight women. So who are some other women, maybe outside of the organization, that you would like to spotlight, and maybe possibly we get them on the show?
I'm not gonna lie. I think there's a lot that I could name. I'm not gonna lie. You should try Haley. Haley Sutton, probably literally the best person you'll ever meet. And I'm not just saying that because that's like my big sister. Literally the truth. She's great. She always helps out whenever, like, any person, any woman needs it specifically. She's always there to give feedback, whether it's like on camera feedback or just like advice, real life advice. She's someone that would be great. And I actually look up to her. Her work is phenomenal. And she's like so polished. Granted, like, she's older than I am, but like just looking at to see like how polished she is at her age is like awesome. Autumn Johnson, another person that you should definitely.
I think she's been a guest on the show early on.
Hey,
yeah, maybe her. Like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Autumn Johnson, definitely someone that I consider like a sister as well. She has worked so hard to get to where she's gotten. And it's a constant grind for her as well. And I admire her for that, for sticking with it, because she even tried the local TV route and was like, yeah, this ain't for me. Like, then went on to NCAA Digital. But yeah, no, I admire her too, because she puts in so much work to be able to be like the source for WNBA basketball. Insane. And to be following all those teams is crazy. Love her as well. So yeah, I'd say those two ladies for sure I want to spotlight 100%.
I just want to say this has been such a refreshing conversation, and your candor and your honesty. I'm thrilled that you joined us on the pod, and I'm excited to see where the rest of your journey takes you. So
thank you. It's been great. You were great as well. And I appreciate you for, you know, you all for allowing me to be on this podcast. It's been great.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day.
Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives.
If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.